Well, amen. I'll tell you what's been a blessing all the way around. I brought the young people down here because your pastor has been such a blessing to us. You don't ever know why God does what he does or why he does in your life what he does. Take your Bibles, turn to John 15. But he does. I want to thank the church personally. My kids did a great job at just let you know that was the first time they've ever done that in front of a church. You were our guinea pigs. And brother, I'm telling you what, they practiced for 2 months just to come down here. They wanted to be some part of a blessing. They just wanted to be part of the service. And I told them, I said, y'all better get some songs ready. I said, because Brother Peacock, if he when he finds something, if it works, he's going to use it. And he may not, and he may, but you should be ready. You never know when God's going to use you.
Amen.
He asked me to preach. I figured he was going to let me preach, you know, like one of the 15-second messages that the guy's got to preach. But then he asked me to open it up, which I don't know why he would do that, but I thank God for it.
Amen.
I don't get the opportunity to preach in a lot of places. After my first sermon, you probably understand why. But, you know, it's a blessing just to come to like-minded believers. They're so hard to find.
Amen.
You don't know what you have a lot of times, and you sit there and you say, oh God, you know, what do I do? And he says, just put your nose down to the grindstone and just go and go and go. And after a while, what happens is something starts to formulate and God starts putting you together with like-minded believers. And it was just a blessing that I got to meet your pastor. And I'm telling you what, I mean, he could read you like a book, man. I mean, he knew, he said, you're this, aren't you? I said, yeah, how'd you know that? He said, I could tell. He said, I went down a set of steps like this. And I don't know whether somebody had to tell him. I went down a set of steps and I just did this and went like that. And he said, you were in the Navy, weren't you? I said, how'd you know that? He goes, because of the way you walk. And then a little while later, he goes, you're a chief, aren't you? I said, how'd you know that? He goes, I could tell. It's in your nature. And it is. I tell you what, it's amazing how somebody can read somebody. And your Bible's the exact same way. This thing reads you. Just like, well, let me read something here first, if I may. John 15, verse 6. Actually, let me go to 12. Let me go to 12. 12, please. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have done, or all things that I have heard of my Father, have I made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father, of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, you know I'm nervous, and shaky. But Lord, I just want to thank you. For all you've done this week, what a blessing is. My cup is really overflowed. Lord, you have done more this week in my life than you have in a long time. Lord, I asked for something from you, and you gave it. Father, you gave it more than I could have ever asked. You always do. Lord, I just thank you for your many blessings, and thank you for all the things that's went on here. Lord, the preaching that went on this week, what a blessing that was. Lord, thank you for this meeting. Thank you for just allowing us to be a part of it. And now for the next few minutes, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this message. And Lord, that it'd bring glory and honor to our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I don't even know where to start. Sometimes I had all this in my head, what to do. And they started singing, and the church, just everything goes on. He is right. I tell you what, my wife is a blessing to me. She has done, I can't even tell you how much she's done for me, and I started thinking about it. I've been saved for 35 years now, and I go back to when I got saved in Louisville, Kentucky, on a back porch, just sitting there, and I was a young man, no direction in life, confused. Really, God could have ended my life right there, and I'd have been okay. I remember sitting on that porch for a couple months there while I found this little Bible in my attic. I don't know how the thing got there, but started reading it. And in the process of reading that thing, it starts talking back to me. And I don't know why it's doing that, but it is. And it's just the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know now what it is, but back then I wasn't sure what it was. I was looking for something in my heart. And I was looking for something more than what I had. And I had money, and I had a house, and I had everything I possibly wanted. I had just about every car you could imagine. I had a 68 Mustang. I had a 68 Camaro. I had a, that was a little SS 302. That's a nice car. I had a 62 Chevy 2-Nova with a 327 3-speed in. That was a nice car. I had a 66, 67 Chevy 2-Nova. I had every car I ever wanted. I had all the money I wanted. I had that little Mustang, that 68 Mustang with a, oh, that was a sweet little car. Green, I mean, little blinker lights in the hood. I mean, that thing was nice. I don't know where any of that stuff is today. It's probably on the junkyard. But you know, after a while, you get that stuff, and it just doesn't meet the needs in your heart. It just, there's something missing, and you know it's missing. And I always would try to help people and do what I could. But it was just never, it never met, and the bottle didn't do it. I'd take a fifth of Jack Daniels, and I'm not bragging about my sin. I just where I was. And I'd drink till I passed out. And then I'd wake up the next morning, have a half a bottle left, and I'd drink it. The next, my dad was an alcoholic. His whole family was alcoholics, and I was on my way to being that. And I remember reading that little Bible and coming across some verses and sitting out on that back porch and screaming up at the sky and saying, "Hey, God, if you're really there, if you're there, show me something." And that little book just kept talking. And I'm like, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was a Catholic, born and raised Catholic. And I said, yeah, I believe that, and 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 I believe that. And I come across Jesus Christ getting baptized. I forget which gospel I was in, and he was in the going into the water, and it's just like the God stopped it right there. And he says, "What do you see?" And now I'm talking to a book. I mean, I'm talking to a book. I'm lost. I'm talking to a book, and a book's talking back. And I'm sitting there, you think, I mean, they're the straitjacket. That's straitjacket stuff right there. I mean, that's where you're going to go. Right down to the padded room and all that stuff. And I'm sitting back there. And see, some people, you don't understand. I'm going to get to this in a second. Hopefully I can make you understand what I'm going to say. Is Jesus Christ was sitting there, and I was being baited by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Father. And he goes, "Mike, what do you see here?" And I said, "Well, I see you in heaven, Father." And he goes, "Okay." And he goes, "What else do you see?" And I said, "Well, I see the dove descending like a dove, the Holy Spirit descending right there." And I was a Catholic, and I believe the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But Jesus Christ was always at the front of the cross, dead on a cross, or he's in Mary's little arms. Right. And as a baby. And I said, that's all I knew of him. And I knew he was there when you said Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I said, that's enough rosaries, man, and genuflexed and everything else. I've done all this, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And you do it real, real quick sometimes. So you go, because the priest tells you, you know, go say 14 Hail Marys and 37 Our Fathers. And I don't know about you, but at 13 years old, I don't want to say 14 Hail Marys and 37 Our Fathers. And I go say them real quick. By the time you get to the last one, it's like, blah, blah. It's just done. And you feel like you've done it. And did you ever lie to a priest? I used to lie to the priest all the time going to confession. Because they made me go every Saturday. You know, you go in there every Saturday, and the priest is waiting for you to tell him something. But you're like, I know I did. Well, let me tell you. And you start making stuff up. And then he gives you Our Fathers and Hail Marys to go say. And you go say them, and then you plead, and you think you're okay. But really, that never satisfied anything inside. So I got outside, you know, and I finally just said, forget it, man. 13 years old, I said, forget church. My mom is a staunch Roman, was, and she's a Catholic, or she's a Batholic, or a Baptist. She doesn't know what she quite is right now. She's kind of in the middle there somewhere, really, really confused. And I love her to death. I tell you, I call my mom all the time. I've called my mom for 35 years, just about every day, every other day, and I preach at her before my kids. I told my kids, I said, you ever talk to your mom like I talk to my mom? I said, I'll beat you senseless. I said, but my mom might be lost, and I don't want her to go to hell. And if she goes, she's going to go over my body. I said, that's where she's going to go. I said, I'm going to be in her face until the day she gets saved. And when she gets saved, and she might be saved. She tells me, she says, Mike, I ask Jesus to save me every night. She might be saved. She just don't know it. But I'm sitting there, you know, I got saved on that back porch. One night I come across that thing, and he says, look at it. It's a father into the sky. I said, yeah, you're in heaven. And I said, the dove right there, he goes, and Jesus in the water. He says, in my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I'm like, in your son? In your son? And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden that book starts opening up. Amen. And I come across Matthew 7:7. It said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened. And I said, ask who, seek where, knock. What are you talking about? And me and this book really is going around in circles at this time. And one night I sit on that back porch, and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look up and I said, Lord, I'll get saved. I'll get saved, but I'm 22 and I've done messed everything up that you can mess up. And I said, you'll never be able to use me for nothing, and I'll never be any good, and I'll never be able to do nothing for you. But if you want me, I want you, but if I don't have nothing to give you. And I sit in my backyard. Now, you may not have done this, but my backyard, I still remember just like it was last night. My backyard was 100 foot long in Louisville, Kentucky. The house is gone. The porch is gone. Satan done wiped that whole thing slick. The backyard was there. And in my backyard, in this corner right here, I had a fenced-in area where I had a garden. And there was a gate on that garden. Now, don't you ask me why this, I thought this. I have no idea. But I thought for some reason that the way I read my Bible, he was going to come down and he was going to land in my garden. I don't know why he would land in the garden. Why didn't he just come down and sit next to me on the porch? But he said he'd come and sit next to me and tell me what I needed. So I was waiting on that back porch. I got up about 12 o'clock one night, 12:30. It's in August. 1980. Can't tell you exactly the hour or anything. I wish I could. But I went out there and sit on that front porch or that back porch, and it was pitch black outside, and my dog was sitting right next to me, and I was looking in that backyard, and I was waiting for that gate to go, and it never did. And I sit there for about 2 hours, and I said, Lord, I looked up the sky, I said, look, I don't blame you. I wouldn't have come for me either. And I got up on that porch, and up to that night I did drugs. I smoked pot and a few things here and there, but nothing major. A lot of pot, a whole bunch. I used to sell the stuff all the time. I mean, I got away with murder just about practically. And I'm telling you what, it's a wonder I wasn't in trouble and in jail for all that stuff. But I woke up the next morning, went to work, and my normal procedure for getting up every morning was roll a joint, smoking on the way. All my friends had all the drugs they wanted for free. It didn't cost anybody anything. But 3 weeks later, I'm at working at a steel factory, and I worked on a Cincinnati plate shear, half-inch plate shear, and I'm cutting steel. And this guy walks up to me and says, hey, Mike. I said, yeah. He goes, let's go smoke one. I said, smoke one? Smoke one? I said, I haven't had any yet today. It was still all in my house. I said, I haven't had any yet today. And he goes, you haven't? I said, no. And I said, I didn't have any last night either. That's weird. And I went back 3 weeks to that night on that back porch. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, you did something. What'd you do? I said, and I'm not, at this point, I'm like, he did something. What'd he do? What'd he do? Well, before this, I had a little, that 68 Mustang I loved. My uncle was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he lived. Man, that guy started talking about Southern Baptist church. He's eating my lunch. I was ready to resign my church today, by the way, yesterday after he got done. I was like, man, I said, I'll never be like Adrian Rogers. I'll never be like one of these other guys. I'll never be like one of these other great preachers. I'm no good. I'm worthless. How in the world? Man, I tell you what, this week done tore me up. I'm sitting here going, God, what am I going to do? I said, I feel wretched and miserable, and I can't. But I'm telling you what, this week is good. It's good. You need that inside. You need that. And I sit there, and I used to drive across town 20 miles. Now, see, I think if you want to find Jesus, you'll find him. I think he's there. So I drive across town 20 miles in my little 68 Mustang, and I'd run up there and knock on my uncle's door, Southern Baptist preacher, Rockford Lane Baptist Church, and say, Rolf. He said, yes, sir. I said, what does this mean? And he'd tell me. I said, see you later, bye, man. I wouldn't even walk in his house. Go get my little 68 Mustang, drive 20 miles back, 40 miles round trip, get an answer out of my scripture. And I came in there one day when I got saved. I thought, man, I'll go talk to Rolf. I didn't know what I did. I had no idea. So I go talk to Rolf, and I'm standing outside of Southern Baptist Church, and big old Southern Baptist Church, and he's there, and he's in there with a meeting with somebody, and they tell me to sit outside waiting. I'm sitting out there waiting, and I'm looking up in the sky, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm like, hey, what'd you do? I said, what did you do, man? You got to tell me what you did. If something's changed and you didn't tell me what you did, I want to know what you did. And about that time, I started bawling, man. I mean, I couldn't even talk no more. And Rolf comes out and gets me, and he tries to win me to Jesus Christ. And I said, I did that, and I did that, and I did that. He said, Mike, you got saved. I said, what's that? And he goes, you trusted Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, that's what that book says. Now, I did not know that was a King James Bible I had in my hand. I just knew that it was talking to me, so he kindly took that thing. Don't you ever let anybody take a King James Bible out of your hand.
That's right.
Now, the brother preached this morning about knowing that thing's the Word of God. God showed me, it took him 4 years to show me that thing's the Word of God. And once he got done, no Bible education, no nothing. I know that thing's the Word of God. That thing right there is the Word of God. You know, God sometimes, I think he sits in heaven and laughs at you. I got 4 years later, after I got saved, I went in the Navy, and 4 years later, my life was falling apart, and I was trying to read that New American Standard. And you see, God's a strange, we serve a strange God. We serve a strange Lord. He's not in a hurry for nothing.
Right.
He can watch over you, and he can take care of you, he can protect you. He can do all kinds of stuff for you. And he loves you. He's your friend. That's what I'm trying to get across here for a second. He's your friend. I'm trying to tell you that. You need that in your life. Well, I'm on his ship over in, he works out like four or five things at the same time, too. I'm sitting there reading my little New American Standard, and I run across a guy on the ship named Fritz Biederstadt, a German guy. This is kind of weird. So I'm sitting there trying to read my Bible, and Fritz is a Christian. He comes up and says, Mikey. I said, yeah, Fritz. He goes, what are you doing? Me and him became really good friends. I said, Fritz, I'm reading my Bible, man. He goes, let me see that thing. So he takes my Bible, my little New American Standard, he opens the front cover, and he goes, that ain't a Bible. Right. I said, ain't. He goes, what is? And I said, yeah, I asked him that. I said, what is? He goes, King James 6:11. I said, you got one? He says, oh, by the way, I got an extra one in my rack. Yeah. So he goes and gets one and gives it to me. And I start reading that thing. And I mean, Matthew, Mark, and John again, because I'm pretty stupid. I'm from Kentucky. Give me a break, okay? So again, and thanks for the basket, too. That was a blessing. I told Ben, I said, I got mine first. Woohoo! What do you think about that? Then the kids ate everything in it. But anyways, I was sitting there, and I got, Fritz gave me that Bible, and I started reading. I don't know whether it was a day or two or 4 or 5 hours or a week. I don't know exactly what it was. Time kind of just all mixed. The thing starts talking again. And I'm like, whoa, man, it's back. And it's like, he said, hi, Mike, glad you're back, man. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? You're glad I'm back? I said, wait a minute. I wonder what that little white one was. Me being a dumb hillbilly from Kentucky, I just did the only thing I could do. I took vacation. And I said, I'm going to drive 12 hours for one thing. Now, how many times have you ever drove somewhere a long, long ways for something that to most people they'd say you're stupid? Come on. I said, I'm going to go to Kentucky. And you want to know why I'm the way I am? This is why. I got my car, and I got drove 12 hours straight. And I went to my house. I found my little white Bible. And I flipped that front cover open. And it said, King James Authorized Version. And I'm telling you, the hair stood up on the back of my head. And this little voice went through my head and said, hey, you dummy. Don't you ever let nobody take that out of your hand again. I said, okay, yes, sir. Got that thing, man. Title of this message is, He Said It, I Didn't. Amen. I've got some things that Jesus Christ said. I did not say what He said. I'm just agreeing with what He said. And I'm not going to let you take it. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not servants. Brethren, He did not call me a servant. I am not a servant. Although I am, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of the Most High on this planet. But to Jesus Christ, He called me something a little different. I'm different to Him than I used to be. I'm not the same anymore than what I used to be. I'm something different. Now, you may say, you're out. I know He's talking to the apostles. I know that. Boy, He's talking to me too. Now, you say He isn't. Well, okay, you just deal with it your way. I'm going to deal with it my way. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. You got a friend that's sticking closer to the brother. You got a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that song, man. I like them old hymns. Joseph, I got a guy in my church named Joseph. He used to listen to Creed. And he'd come to church, man, and he'd sit there. I love Joseph. Joseph's a good guy. The preacher knows him. He'd come to church with his earphones in. And he'd have his Creed. And I've never heard Creed, so I can't tell you what it sounds like, but everybody tells me it sounds pretty bad. So Joseph, I said, Joseph, what are you doing? I'm listening to Creed, and you ain't going to make me stop. I said, okay. I said, hey, man, bring some in Sunday. We'll play it in church on Sunday. You will? I said, no, shut up, man. Get out of here. So he goes to camp. He comes back and says, I'm getting rid of my Creed. And I mean that, brother, I'm telling you what. You know, you sit there and you start watching the Lord start working through some people's lives. And He's a friend. It says right here, it says, He said, I call you not servants, but you're friends. You know what Joseph is? He's my friend. That young man, we started developing a relationship and we got to be friends. But I got a friend that's better than that, man. He's called Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I sit there and started watching this thing. And I'm like, Jesus, man. I mean, I'm a sailor. I don't know about you, but never want to go to ship. By the way, Sam, I told Sam this the other day. He said he went out to sea. That wasn't sea. He went out there and he got on some fort. That's a ripple. A 4-foot wave is a ripple. It's not a wave. It's like dropping a rock in the water, and you go, bloop, bloop, that's a ripple. A wave is a wave. Now, that's like a 10 plus. It has to be at least 10 foot to be a wave. And he goes, yeah, but I wasn't on one of them big gray things you were on. That's true. I have to hand him that. They can take it a lot better. But it says, for all these things, you're not a servant, but I have called you friends. And when I first got saved, I started reading my Bible, and I started coming across this stuff. And I thought this thing just talked to me. You may think I'm crazy, but I said, no, this is my book. This is mine. The Lord gave me this. It's him talking to me. I just thought God would talk to me. I thought somehow out there Jesus would say, hey, Mike, do this and Mike, do that. And it always wasn't an audible thing. But, man, I tell you what, there's some sweet times. That book, I mean, I just sit there and start reading that thing. I remember sitting in refueling station number 2 on the side of the USS Scott right here. I'm just sitting there, man. Got all the oil and stuff here and sunshiny out. And I got my little Bible, man. Done all my work for the day. And I'm sitting there with my little Bible just crying, man. He's talking about tears in your Bible. I got Bibles with tears all over. You sit there and say, oh, Jesus. Oh, man, that's good because I remember what I was. I'm not that no more. I remember where I came from. I'm not that no more. I remember what my dad was, and I said, he's still that, but I'm not that no more. I said, what a blessing. You just read this page, and it's like the words coming off those pages. It was somebody on the other side of that thing talking back to a place in me that had a hole that I couldn't reach, and I couldn't do nothing with it. He was just soothing that thing over, and he was a friend. You know, I didn't know what a friend was.
Amen.
Brother Peacock and Dr. Peacock. Yeah, I'd say the doctor stuff too. I needed this, and that is out of respect.
Yeah.
These men have earned stuff. I feel like a dumb. After that Southern Baptist guy got done yesterday, well, he wasn't Southern Baptist, but after he got done, man, I was about ready to go back to the Southern Baptist Seminary, man. I need to get right and learn how to preach. That's what I need, Lord. Oh, God, I'm going to drop the tube. What are you doing? Hey, he said be a fool for Christ, and this thing is bad, man.
Hello.
Peace be. And I'm an ET. What do you think about that?
Shoot.
You can't even spit on it, man. Oh, here it is. It's almost done. Yeah, man. I need all the help I can get, man. I'm telling you what, guys. Anyways, I sit in that little station. I just cry my eyeballs out, and I'd go back in. And
is it working again?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, man. You're a good guy.
Careful now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mason. That's terrible, man.
Be careful.
He's going to make it easy this time. You're going to have to take your jacket off. You'll watch me. I'll take my jacket off and rip it off in a minute. All the good preachers do that. That's the kind of training you get. You watch them, and they all take their jackets off. And you think that's what you got to do. You don't necessarily have to do that. I just think you got to get Jesus in this thing somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
But I sit on that little side of that ship, and I sit in that number 2 station, and I just get... Just sit there and say, Lord, show me something. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I think God makes the man. And sometimes he uses different things in life to do that in your life. I don't understand why everybody goes through what they go through. And I don't know why God allows something in your life that he doesn't allow in somebody else's life. But each person, you have to get to that place where he becomes a friend to you. And then all of a sudden you realize it doesn't matter what happens to me. What matters is what he wants, not what I want, what he wants. And then you got to agree with it. And you want to do it too. I want to do it. I don't care what he does to me anymore. I'm telling you. If God's my witness, you get to heaven and say, God, do you really think Mike meant, yeah, he meant that. I don't care. I've watched him do some of the craziest things in 35 years that you just sit there and go, man, that's good. Oh, boy, that's good. I got a daughter sitting there, Esther. That little girl right there should not be here today. She should be dead. She was born with a rare disease. They told me that only little girls, I thought I was going to lose Beth and her at the same time. And I was saved 21 years when Esther was born. And I was sitting there in the hospital room, and Beth was doing okay. She delivered all 4. The other one's perfectly fine. Sarah gave us some problems, but Sarah's always been problems. Man, I'm telling you what, these girls, man. Somebody asked me today, I'll get back. Somebody asked me today, your girls are so sweet. Are they always like that? No. No. On the way to church, on the way home, they're like, ah, cats, man. Yee! And then they get in here and go, la, 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 la. Come on, man. They ain't that way. Yours aren't that way. They aren't either. They just put on a show. But anyways, Esther, I got into the hospital. And Beth was there, and she was getting ready to give the birth, and something went wrong. The nurse walked out of the room, and Beth's fingers started turning blue, and I knew she was losing blood. Because, it's just doing this. So I go out there and get the nurse, and she comes back in, and they realize there's a real problem. Her doctor's 5 or 6 minutes away, and they need 2 doctors. They're going to have to do an emergency C-section. And there's a lot of stuff that went on in process of that. And I'm telling you, God worked out a miracle in my life and that young lady's life right there. And did some stuff for me that nobody else could do. And I watched that thing for about 1.5 months, 2 months as it went on. And all the whole time, the Lord, the day that she was C-section, I was sitting in this glass room looking through all by myself. And that's the way God always does it for me. I'm by myself somewhere and the world's falling apart and I don't know what to do. And I'm sitting there going, God, what do I do? I said, Lord, what do I do? And all of a sudden, you know he's in the room.
Amen.
You know he's there. You look around, there ain't nobody there, but he's there. You know he's there. And then you get a hold of something. You say, okay, I got you. And then you got to stop and think. And I said, Lord, he goes, yeah. He goes, I said, you know where I'm at, don't you? And he goes, yep. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And he says, it's time for you to grow up. I said, grow up. He says, time for you to grow up. He said, Mike, you're 21 years old in the Lord. He goes, have not I taken care of you your whole life? I said, yes, sir, you have. I call my God, sir.
Yeah.
He's sir. I said, yes, sir, you have. And he goes, did not I take care of you here, here, and here, and here, and here, and here? And I said, yes, sir. Did I not always tell you it was going to work out good? And I said, yes, sir, you did. But this time I'm not going to tell you that. He said, this time your wife and baby could die. What are you going to do? I thought for about a second, and I said, Lord, I'm not supposed to put my hands in pockets, so I'll take them out. I learned that the other day. I sit there, and in this room, I'm sitting there going, what do I do? And I said, wait a minute. I said, Lord, you let me learn electronics. I said, I can see trons flowing. I see electrons flowing from valence ring to valence ring. I see us manipulating. I said, Lord, that's what man can do to your atoms. I said, I can't touch this stuff. I said, I know I can't touch this stuff. I cannot touch what's wrong with that little girl or what's wrong with that woman. I cannot do that. That's out of my realm. It's out of my hands. I know it's out of my hands. There's nothing I can do. I said, you're the only one that can.
Amen.
So this is what I'm going to do. I'm turning this thing over to you.
Amen.
And I ain't taking it back. And if my wife dies and my baby dies, you're by God. You understand that? I said, me and you are on the side. We're on a team. Me and you. And you're the leader and I'm the follower. And you do what seemeth good to you in your eyes. I said, but here's the deal. I'm going to make you. I said, whatever them doctors tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So you better be telling them what to do. So for about a month and a half, them doctors used to come up and say, Mr. Elliott, your baby's going to die any day now. What do you want to do? And I said, she's either going to have a liver transplant or die. That's the only option she has. Every little girl born like that, that's what she had. I said, no. I said, they said, what do you want to do? I said, well, what do you want to do? And they go, well, we're just going to wait. When she goes over the side like that and down the hill she goes, we're going to have a transplant. Well, I was in a room one day with a table, man. It was like twice as long as this church it feels like. And there was doctors and teams all around us and transplants and all these just different teams doing stuff. They said, Mr. Elliott, what do you want to do? And Beth was there. I said, well, what do you want to do? And they go, we're just going to wait. And I said, let's wait. One day we went down there and they go, Mr. Elliott. And I said, yeah, I thought they was going to say, what do you want to do? And they go, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but your daughter went the other way. She's the only one that's ever survived with what she had. They made us take that little girl for now. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you what my God did. And I didn't expect him to do that. And he didn't have to do that. He could have done the other thing. And I would have loved him the same. I'm telling you, if you're going to do anything for Jesus in this life. Brother Wheeler talked about going out deep. Man, he was getting into Navy territory there today. I mean, when he got out 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, it was over the head. That's my territory there. I like it, man. I like it past the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Salt. I like being on a forecastle, man, all the way up front with a cup of coffee and just doing this, man. Drinking the coffee. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know. I can't even explain that thing to you. I used to hate it. I thought that was crazy. But you get out there, man, and that salt spray. I remember being up on the 04 level. I get back down. Man, I was like, oh, I should be a sailor. I was up on the 04 level. That's like where the captain sits right here in his little chair. He goes around and the XO over here in his little chair. And they got this little wall up here about 4 foot high. And I got all my antennas and stuff, satellite stuff. And I mean, we're in rough water. And I got this thing flipped up. And the front of the ship is going down and up and down and up. And the pointy end's like way out there somewhere. I'm on the Scott. I'm on the DDG. And I mean, this thing's going down. All of a sudden, I see the front of that ship go down underwater. And I see this wave coming over. I'm like, uh-oh. So I fold this thing down, lock it in. And I get down on my knees like this. And I watch this wave go over my head. I'm up on 04 level. Now it's 4 stories up. That's from the first 4 stories up. And I'm sitting there watching this wave. It goes over. I'm like, yeah. I get back up, open it up, start again. You know, brother, I'm telling you, that stuff is cool, man. I can't even tell you how cool that is. I mean, you got to be there. And you know, that whole time, I didn't know what a friend was. I watched my little girl, and the Lord taught me about my... Was he want to join Navy too? Oh, yeah, don't do that, man. I watched a frigate disappear one day, man, right out in front of us in the Straits of Messina. It went away. I was sitting there up on the 04 level again, and we were going through the strait between Sicily and Italy, the boot right there. I mean, it gets really bad in that area. And our ship was going through, and our destroyer's a little bit bigger than a frigate. Well, a lot bigger than a frigate. But a frigate, this thing was in front of us, and they battened down all the hatches because they knew what was going to happen. This thing disappeared. Antennas, everything. It just went boop, and then come back up. I'm like, I ain't going on nothing like that. I'm with you, brother. Oh, no way. No way. No way. But I'll go on something bigger. That was cool. I like my destroyer. But you know what? I sit there on that ship, and he's talking about your wife. This is all a bunch of, you think it's all jumbled. This is my life story. My life's always been jumbled. But 9 years on two different ships, I sit there by myself, night after night after night. I never had a wife, never had a kid. Didn't think I was ever going to get anything. I said, Lord, I'm just a messed up person. And I remember that night on that back porch, I told him, I said, Lord, I'll never be able to do nothing for you. I mean, I witnessed anything that moved. You're a rat on that ship. You got saved, man. I was out after everything. I did my job, and they were all happy with me. I made rate every single time. I took the test. When I made chief, first time up, took the test, boom, I made chief. It's a rare thing, rare thing. Lady told me, said, you're one of the youngest chiefs in the Navy. Time-wise. But I sit there for 9 years. Now, don't take this wrong. The little church in Norfolk was a sailor church, just a bunch of sailors. I'd go out to sea for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. Man, I wanted a wife bad. I know how you, if you're single and you want a wife, I understand that. If you're a single young lady and you want a husband, I understand that. I'd go out to sea, come back in, and be a young lady sitting in the front of the church. Like, yes, there's my wife. He brought her in. She has this big old rock on her finger, man. She's already in this hand. I said, rats, she's already married, man. Never. There's no single ones ever come in. Finally, one day, I said, Lord, I'm done. I said, I'm done. I'll be a eunuch for Jesus. I'm going to see, man. I'm going to see, and I'm going to tell them about you, and I'm just going to win souls for Jesus out here. I'm done with this thing. I'm done. I don't want a wife. I'm just forget it. So I get on my rack one day. You say, what does that have to do with Jesus? I'm going to get to that in just a second. I bow my head on my rack. I'm trying to give you something practical. Everybody else has been practical. This is practical. I bowed my head on my rack that day when I told the Lord I'd be a eunuch for Jesus. I could take you to the rack. I could take you to the ship. If the mattress is still there, I could show you just about the spot on that mattress where I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I said, you're my God. And I know one of these days I'm going to be out of here and I'm going to come home and everything's going to be okay there. I said, but if you don't think I need a wife, then I don't need a wife. I don't want nothing that you don't want me to have. And all of a sudden, this first one through my head said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I said, oh, no, you don't either. I said, I know how you work. I said, you give me stuff that I don't want. You give me stuff that's going to cause me trouble because you think that's what I want. That's not what I said. I said, you ain't going to do that to me. Now, see, y'all think I'm crazy. What's he going to do? He can't throw me in hell. Amen. He loves me, man. He's my friend. He can't throw me in hell. I can't go there if I tried. I couldn't do it. There's no possible way. It's impossible. Can't happen. So when he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, I'm going to go boldly, man. I said, you ain't going to do that to me. I said, you know my heart's wicked, and you know it's deceitful, and who can know it but you? And you're going to give me something that I want that is going to do me because I won't shut up. That's why you're doing that. And I said, you ain't going to do that because that's not what I said. I said, I want what you want.
Amen.
He said, okay, I'm going to give you desires of your heart. So you sure about that? He goes, yeah. I said, okay. We pulled into Israel. I went and got 3 diamonds. I didn't know where she was at on the face of this planet. Had no clue. I got me a house. I got me a car. I was like the little kid with a table and a plate in front of me with a fork and knife. Where's it at? Where is she at, man? Had no idea. One day I sit in church. It's always good to go to church. And this missionary comes through and he has this picture of his daughter. Man, you got to watch them missionaries, man. They're good guys. I like them. But they always want you to marry their daughters. Especially, I mean, if you're kind of, I was E6, man. I had everything. I had all the money in the world I needed. I was getting ready to make chief. Everything was going good. And she hands me this picture, and I look at it. The Lord said, no, you don't want that one. I said, okay. I learned my lesson, man. So I give it to my friend. So he starts to, worst place, oh, I should have never done that to him, man. I'll mess him up. But anyways, oh, it was terrible. I told him, don't do it, man, don't do it. But she was up in Dayton, Ohio. And he wanted to go up and see her, but he didn't have a car. So I said, hey, I'll drive you up there, man. I said, there's a church up there I'd like to visit and just go get preached. I said, I can get preached at while you're up there. And they didn't want me nowhere around them while they were seeing each other. And the parents were all there and everything. And so there was a young lady at that church who seen me, and she felt sorry for me because I was like a duck out of water. And I was in Dayton, and there's no ocean up there. So I couldn't find a ship to get on or couldn't do nothing. So she started walking around with me and talking to me. And we sit there one day, and the Lord kicked me in the back of the head and said, hey, stupid, what about this one? I said, this one? I said, well, she don't have a ring on her finger. That's a plus. I said, and she's cute. I said, that's a plus. I said, but we like each other. Is that the way it's supposed to be? And he goes, yeah, that's pretty much. Me and Beth were friends. We became friends. It didn't take me but about 30 minutes to realize that she couldn't live without me. And she said, amen, brother, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I know it. I already know that. You can't tell me. Don't tell me no different than that. Man, her eyes got like this. And the first time she seen me, I knew exactly what was going on. Hey, I had my sailor glasses on. I look like Dr. Peacock, man. I had my Navy. I look like a CIA agent when I walked in here. Suit and tie and everything. When I went, I had a suit and tie on, didn't I? And I was sitting there with NIS, CIA, or something like that. And Ray-Bans. That was cool. I walk in there and have my mustache. I had a mustache back then, too. I got a picture of the house. And she just fell over dead, but she couldn't hardly handle it. She was saved. And as soon as I seen her, it's like, there's something about that girl that's different. There's something about that. I don't know what it is. There's something. I'm 32 years old. Never met nobody like her in my life. Nobody. God said, you take some time. You know, he took him from 1980 to 1989 to show me what a friend was. I never had seen that in the 22 years of my life. I've never seen it. I never knew what fair weather friends. They used to call them and say, they're people that come around when it's good for them and you can provide them something. It wasn't like that with her. I mean, we were walking around having a good time and fellowshipping. And none of this is in this outline, by the way. I'm telling you about my friend tonight. I want to tell you about my friend. I got a friend that's sticking closer. I mean, he guided and directed me to a place in Dayton, Ohio, where a young lady was. And he said, Mike, what about this one? We went out to, I knew it, and here's how I knew it was her. We went out, and she's a hairdresser. I mean, she looks good now, but boy, she looked just about as good as she does now back then. I got to watch what I said there, man. I can get in trouble. I'm treading on thin water, man. But anyways, I mean, she had her hair safe. But her hair, she had it all done up nice. And I mean, she's a beautician. She could walk. We walked into the malls and stuff, and she halfway across the mall, big malls, man. She goes, I know that head. I mean, that's how good she was. She could tell from the back of your head who you were. That's how much you cut your hair. And so I'm sitting there talking to her, and we go canoeing. And she, all the way out there, she says, you messed my hair up. Somebody said that today. You messed my hair up, and I'll never speak to you again. I'm like, oh, that's all I need is somebody to tell me what I can and can't do. So we're sitting there, and we weren't really fighting. We were just laughing. So we got to the canoe place, and we had to carry the canoe down this little hill, and she slipped and fell and pew, pew, right in the water. And she comes up looking at me. I said, that'll teach you to open your mouth to me ever again. I mean, we're busting out laughing at each other. You know what God did? He gave me a wife. She said, Mike, I don't think I can have kids. Doctors always told me that something's just messed up, and I don't think I can ever have kids. I don't worry about that. I said, number one, I'm not marrying you for kids. I'm marrying you because the Lord told me to marry you. Not that you need somebody to take care of you. She took care of herself. It's that the Lord told me you're the one. So I tried for about 6 months to get her to marry me, and she would never do it. She said I had to come all the way. This was from Norfolk. It's starting to cost a lot of money on the telephone calls back then. I said, look, you're going to have to make a decision. She says, no, you're going to have to come up here and ask me. I said, look, why can't you just tell me? So I'd say, do you like me? Yes. Do you do this? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Will you marry me? No, you got to come up here and ask me. I couldn't trick her, couldn't do nothing. So I finally come up here and ask her to marry me. She did. Today we got 5 kids, and what you've seen up here is a partial product of that. All of them aren't my kids, but I sit there, and what I realized is I trusted a friend 35 years ago on a back porch. Amen. And my friend, I didn't really know what kind of friend he was or how good a friend he was. I didn't really know him. I mean, we don't really know him. He talked this morning about going out into the deeper waters. The more you get to know him, the less fearful you are of going out into those deeper waters.
Right.
I'm over my head now, man. I am so outgunned here. I'm telling you, I'm outgunned. You guys, I was ready. I'll tell you, after that guy got done yesterday, I was ready to quit. I'm like, there's no possible way I can be like Adrian Rogers. I can't. I'm a W. I'm leaving from Kentucky. I can't do it. I said, Lord, what do I do? You don't have to do nothing. So I tell you what to do. You answer to me. I said, yes, sir, you're right. I said, Lord, you always do that. I said, you're the coolest God I ever had in my life. As a matter of fact, you're the only one I ever had. He has been with me for 35 years. I could go from story after story after story after story after story. I could spend all night and not even... I was going to write a book one time called Mike's Navy. It's a little arrogant, I guess, but I mean, it was funny. My wife came on a ship one time. I used to come off, we'd pull into ports, and I'm up on the 04 level or on the Ponce, I think it was 05 or 06. And I'd pull up port, and all these ladies would come down the pier front. And they were nice. They were okay ladies. I mean, their families were there, and they'd pick their husbands up. And up to 19, it would be when I met Beth, and I never had a wife. And I looked down there and said, Lord, that's okay. It's okay. I said, man, I got the best deal here. I'm saved. I said, man, you trusted me. I trusted you, and you've always been there for me. I mean, I can be on the side of a ship, crying my eyeballs out, reading your little book, and I love you. And I said, if you don't think I need a wife, that's okay. I'm all right with that. And I just go back in the ship and start working. And I just keep working and keep working. I remember a day when Beth came out to the ship after we got married. And I was on the Ponce, and it was a little windy day. Man, she came out there. Oh, she was decked out. I remember that the rest of my life. She had a big old long dress on. Beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. She knocked every... There wasn't a woman on that pier front down there who looked like her. And she came up that ladder, and it was like four stories up to get up to the 04 level, or to the quarter deck, and then another couple up. And she was walking down through there, and the wind blew, and her skirt started coming. And she holds... That was the cutest thing I ever seen in my life, man. I mean, all the guys were like... I'm like, yeah, and she's mine, man. She's mine. Get your eyes off of her. You know, I was in there. I was happy, man. You know what my friend did? I give that all to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to say a couple things, and I'll be done. It says right here in 15:15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants. You know, the Lord wants to show you some things sometimes. And you got to start somewhere and just get some things down and just believe them. And don't, like he said today in Sunday school, just believe it. You got to believe it. I believe that book's the Word of God. I got 3 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew. Ugh, I hate it. I hate that stuff. I got my bachelor's degree from theology from PBI. I watched Dr. Man, that's a great man. Man, I was over the other day and I watched him, and he slipped on a couple things. And I remember I said, man, that guy's right again. And somebody looked at me and said, what do you want? And, you know, one person would look at that and say, oh, look, he's getting old and he's losing it. No, he's not losing it, man. He's just getting old, man. If I could retain, he's got more in his brain at his age right now than I'll ever have in my entire life. And I'm sitting there watching him, and I remember back in class in 1991, 2 or 3, somewhere in there, he said, boys, you better write this stuff down. He said, you better write it down, you're going to forget it. One day you're going to forget it, and you're not going to, you better write down your stuff and get it someplace where you can keep it. You better write it down. I'm like, man, that old man's right again. I said, that's a genius up there, man. But he says right here, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friend. Are you a friend of Jesus tonight? Let me ask you a question. Are you a friend? Are you really? Man, I got a friend that loves me and tells me all kinds of stuff. And there's some basic things. I'm just going to run through some things here, and it'll take me a few minutes. I'll be done. Number one, I'd like to say this. You're saved. I don't know about you, but I believe I'm saved. Amen. And I don't think I could ever lose it. Amen. I think that if the worst would happen to me is he'd make me stay here longer than I want to. Because he already knows I want to come home. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Amen. I'm like, Lord, there's a lot of people out there say you can't have it. But you said I could have it. They say you can't, but you say I can. You say somebody can know it. Why can't I be the one who knows it? Yeah. I want to know it. Can I know it? Can I know it? I don't care if they don't know it. I really would like them to know it, but can I know it? And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden one day, somehow, I just got that thing down to where I know it. Amen. You couldn't mind that thing away out of me if you wanted to. You kill me first. Cut my head off. Don't matter. He saved my soul. You got to get rid of him to get rid of me. You can't do it. Amen. And he can't get rid of come boldly under the throne of grace. I'm telling you what, sometimes, you know what a friend does? Yeah, have you ever went to a friend and said, look, I need help? They understand. They know you're hurting. They know that you're the one that can help them. And they come to you. You know what I've learned out there on those ships all by myself? I learned that Jesus Christ is the one that can help me. It's not that I don't love people. I do love them. He taught me how to love, too. I'm telling you what, when I got a hold of him, he says back here, I was going to read this thing. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I didn't know what love was either until I met that girl right there. And then really here probably in the last 5 or 6, 10 years is what I've started learning what love was. I'm telling you, brethren, this thing that we walk through this life and we think we know and we don't. And the only one that can show us what true, pure, clean love is Jesus Christ. There's nobody else who can do it. And he started showing me that. Well, he showed me that. He said, you have a home. John 14:1. I like this. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm ready to go. He's got a, not a house. I don't want a house. I want my mansion. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to be there. I'm going to be everywhere else. I don't. Why would I want to stay in a mansion anyway? Thank God I got a mansion. I love my mansion. I know it's there. It's got my address on it, Mike's mansion. But I'm not probably ever going to be there. I want to be wherever. Well, he's going to be everywhere too. I just want to be everywhere where he is.
Yeah.
I know he's going to be in my mansion too. But man, I mean, could you imagine what he's got out there in the universe? Beyond the universe. I don't know what he's got. I just want to go see it.
Amen.
That's my friend. He said, Mike, you can have a home. You got a home. Do you believe that? I said, yeah. He says, I'll give you a teacher. John 15:26 says, but the comforter. You know, a lot of times when he talked today about reading our Bible, that is the key. That's the key to your life right there. You get that thing, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You get that thing in your heart. You just get it in there. One day God will pull that thing out and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I sit in a church in Greenville, Alabama. Me and Beth was going down to Pensacola to see if I was going to go to Bible college there. Man, I got down there. There's a big splint going on. I said, this is the place, man. Fighting. I like fighting. I said, it's cool, cool. And Doc up there saying, now they all remember your missionaries now. You just remember all this stuff. And you do this, and you do this, and you keep it. I said, man, I like that guy. That's a cool guy. I mean, I drew an affinity to that man as soon as I met him. I said, that guy, there's something about that guy. He's talking about my friend. He always talks about my friend. He really never talks about him. He just talks about my friend. And I like anybody who talks about my friend.
Amen.
And my friend is Jesus, if you didn't know that.
Amen.
So I'm sitting there. He goes, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. I was sitting there. Me and Beth was driving back from there and going back up to Norfolk and Wednesday night. Started getting around 7 o'clock. I'm like, Bethy, we got to go to church somewhere. She says, you can't. I said, why? She says, you don't know where you're at. I said, don't care. I said, we got to go to church. I said, we got to go to church. I'm getting antsy, man. I got to go to church. So we get off an exit and pull up. Here's a Southern Baptist church shut down on Wednesday. I said, ah, man. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, left. Way to go. We go around the corner and probably 2 or 3 miles down, here's a big old independent fundamental BBF church. And I can still tell you what that guy preached that night. That's on the Jeconiah, where God took his name off that man's life. I didn't realize up to that night that Mary, that Solomon was the bloodline of Joseph, and that Nathan was the bloodline of Mary, and that they both went back to Solomon or to Bathsheba. Man, that I'm telling you what, man, that I said, Lord, Bathsheba, you're out of Hittite Bathsheba and David. And your son come right out of that bloodline. I said, now what do you know about that? I said, isn't that cool that you'd use somebody who everybody thinks you can't use, and you'd use them anyways just to shut everybody up? I said, what a blessing, man. I was shouting, man. That's a shouting ground. I left out of there. I said, that thing is burnt in my head. You know what? My friend gave me that. He said, Mike, you're gonna get off the expressway, and you're going to take your time out to find you his church. It ain't going to be exactly the same kind of church you're in, but hey, it'll work. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you something because you win.
Amen.
And that thing has been in my head ever since. I'll give you a teacher. That's a Holy Ghost, man, a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. You know what he said unto me? Not right there.
Good.
I love this thing. I'm not true to it all the time. I would be a liar if I told you I was. But boy, I know where the answers lie.
Amen.
Right there and nowhere else. He says, I'm your friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath a friend must show himself friendly. He's showed himself friendly to me. Has he ever showed himself friendly to you? Brethren, if you're going to make it through this life, everything we talked about this week, everything that was said this week, everything that's going on, your life, you're going to have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ and him alone to get you through it. He's going to have something for you to do, but when he does, he's going to put you out there on a limb somewhere where you can serve him and he can get the glory out of that thing.
Amen.
I want to give him the glory. You know why I bought... My daughter, man, she goes, she gave a testimony at church. Jesse, And they ask them all for testimonies. And my daughter, Jessie, that one, she should have been a boy. She's supposed to be a boy. She was going to be Jessie. Jessie, what was it, Franklin? Jessie David. And so she came out a girl. I said, okay, she's going to be a Jessica then. She's going to be a Jessica Dawn. And so the other day she sat there and she goes, gave a testimony to church. She says, hi, I'm Jessie. Don't believe that. Not here. Right here you can believe it, not up there. She's not that way. She goes, well, I'd like to thank the church for this, and I thank my dad, but he's going to take all the credit anyways. So I would just, I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, my dad takes all the credit for everything we do. No, I don't. But most of the time I do. I'm telling you what, this thing right here, I started buying instruments a long, long time ago. And I said, Lord, you know what David had? He had people that played the lyre. David played stuff and all that stuff. I said, Lord, I'll get this stuff and get in their hands and hopefully they'll pick it up. And they started doing this stuff. And they started loving God. And they started playing it. And this is an outcome of that right there. This is 35 years of work. This isn't 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And God moving stuff around all over the place and doing this and doing that. And it costs something. And people said, you're crazy for buying all those instruments. Oh, maybe I am. I'm not no more. You know what they'll have for the rest of their life? They'll have an ability to do something. And what you guys, I'm telling you, what y'all did for them is gave them a confidence level like they'll never go away from them. There couldn't have been a church on the face of this planet. A church, I'm telling you, a church on the face of this planet that they would have done what they did the last 2 months for. Amen. They wanted to do that for you guys. Amen. They wanted to do it for that man right there. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what they wanted right there. And they won't do that for me. I don't understand that, brother. Man, I'm sitting here, you wait till I get y'all home. I love my kids. I tell you what, I was so proud of them this week for what they did. I told them, I took them out to dinner last night, sit down with them and told them all. I'm proud of Joe. I'm proud of all the men, Jonathan, I mean, Adam, Andrew, every one of them. I'm proud of all of them. They did exceptionally, far above what I thought they were going to do. And I was tickled back. I could have just come and watched them be a blessing to you guys and been perfectly happy. Preaching, I didn't have to preach. Amen. I thank God that you gave me a chance to preach. He says, I'm your friend. He says, you're my son. Now I'm going to get into three or four things. I'm done real quick. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know what you are? He said this stuff. I didn't say this. You're a child of the king. You're a son of God. Amen. Now you may not know that thing right now, but boy, I tell you what, the Bible says you're seated in heavenly places. Boy, I wish sometimes he'd just let me like swap these guys out. Because I'm wore out down here most of the time. But that guy up there can't be all wore out. He's in heaven. And if you just let me have the other half of me back up there down here and just let him just for a week or two would be fine, like a vacation, and then back, I'd be okay with that. But he don't do that. I got a guy up there saying, na-na-na-na, wait till you get here. I'm like, I'm going to punch him when I get up. I'm going to punch me when I get up there, man. It ain't fair, man, that you got to sit up here the whole time. But that's what he said. My friends, and Mike, it's coming today. You ever heard a song? There is coming a day. There's coming. There's coming a day. I'm out of here. Now, see, I'm not morbid. I don't care to die. I really don't want it quick. Guillotine would be nice. Whack. That'd be good. I don't want to go slow. I've seen some slow things. I don't want to go slow. Quick would be real nice. But I'm telling you what, brethren, when the absent from the body, present of the Lord, can you imagine walking into heaven? The first time? You're going to die 5 times. That's why he has to pick you up. Have you ever seen read over in Revelation and keep picking you up? Because you just keep dying. It takes a while for your body to adjust. Even a spiritual body, it's going to take a while to adjust to that. He says, you're a son. Catholic Church, I was born and raised in a Catholic Church. You got to die, be dead 500 years. You got to then do 2 miracles after you're dead. Then there has to be noticed that you did 2 miracles and proven that you did 2 miracles. And then it has to go through all the stuff in Rome and you become a saint. I said, well, I'll never be a saint. I'm leaving the church. I left church. 1 Corinthians 6:1, I read something one day and the Lord said, catch this, Mike, watch this thing. It says, dare any of you have a matter. Now, it's a thing where he's sitting there saying, you shouldn't go to this world, you should go to your brother. But he said, I want to show you something here, Mike. He said, dare any of you have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Yeah. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you. He said, you know what you are? You're Saint Michael. I said, I'm Saint Michael, man. Check that out. Michael, Saint Michael. I get to go to heaven, man. I get to go up there with Michael and Gabriel. I think Michael and Gabriel were the two angels always with the Lord. I think they were at the tomb, too. I think that was Michael. Every time you see those two angels, I think it's Mike. Michael's a good name. I like that. Michael, Saint Michael. I like Saint Michael. I get my own horse. I still think it's a unicorn.
I get my own horse, and if it isn't, I think the Lord will give me one. He'll put a horn right on the, if he has to strap it to the thing, he'll give me one. I can have whatever I want. He said that stuff. I didn't say that stuff. He said, I just believe him, man. That's all I do. I believe him. I like believing him. He's the best thing I've ever believed in my life.
Amen.
Over in Revelation 1:5, it says, and from Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't know who that was, that's Jesus Christ. And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Man, he taught me what that was and washed us for our sin. You remember when you were a sinner? You remember when he took that stuff away? You remember when it's not there no more and you know it's not there no more? That's your friend that did that.
Amen.
He said he washed you from your sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests. I'm a king, so I'm King Michael the Saint. I'm a king. I'm seated. You're already seated in heavenly places. You do know that, right? All the angels are always standing. He said, you're seated. What do you think about that, man? I said, see St. Michael right over there. There's St. Michael. There's St. Michael the King. There's St. Michael the King. He's a priest also. You know what the Lord wants you to do down there? I got one more here. What's this one? Matthew 28:19. This one got me through all kinds of stuff. I'd get in some trouble and my mind would go away and burdens would come in. I couldn't handle it. Matthew 28:19 said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, Mike, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, you may think I have, but I haven't. He said, you may think I don't love you, but I love you. I died on that cross for you. Don't you ever let nobody tell you I don't love you.
Amen.
You just sit there and you wait. You just wait. You just wait. I'll be there. It may not be exactly when you think it is, but I'll be there. I said, okay, Lord. He says, wait. You know, when he told me to grow up in that room that day, a lot of people, I went to church, and I was in an independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptist church in Dayton, Ohio, and they thought I was crazy. I got up and gave a testimony. My wife is in the hospital. And I said, I just want everybody to know right now, I wanted the world to know. I said, if the Lord takes my wife, and she takes my, and he takes my baby, that he's still my God, and I love him to death. He has been way, way too good for me to complain. I said, I deserved hell a long time ago, and he got me out of that.
Amen.
And he's never put me in. I said, my wife would be in heaven, and my little baby would be in heaven tonight. I said, Lord, you do what seems good to you. And I had 15, 20 people at that church tell me I was out of my stinking mind crazy for trusting you. I'm sorry, man, then you don't love Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you want me to go up and tell him that, God, you stuck your son on a cross for me to die, and you can't do it to me, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I cannot walk up and talk to somebody and say, he carried a cross down the road there to get it up to Calvary so they can lay him down on that cross and nails in his hand, and then he can't do nothing to me? There ain't no way. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord take away. Those are my heroes. I like Job. I like David. I like Isaiah. I like Abraham. Man, Andrew don't like Abraham too much, but man, you better be glad I wasn't Abraham. I'd have took you up there too. I went ahead. I said, man, I don't know if Abraham, I don't think Abraham hesitated. He's my hero. He didn't hesitate. Brother, I tell you, you know what it is? You got to get in them deeper waters that Brother Wheeler was talking about. You got to get out there somewhere. These shallow waters, you're never going to learn nothing, man. You're just going to keep going back, and you're going to depend on yourself, and you'll never see the hand of God in your life.
That's right.
I like God in my life. I want him in my life. I don't want anywhere on this planet. I don't want to go where he's not.
Amen.
And he's everywhere. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do you love Jesus today? I'm done. I tell you what, man, he's been the best friend I've ever had in my life. He has been there in times when I was hurting. He's been in times when I was happy. He's been in times, man, I dropped my Bible off the ship, watch it sink to the bottom of the ocean. I'm like, oh, I was getting ready to go and get it. But I said, no, there's probably sharks down there. I said, I'll get me another one.
He's been in every one of my early pickups. King James, he's my brother. He's my father. He's my friend. He said, a brother that sticketh closer, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He taught me how to love. He taught me what a friend was. You know, it's not that I don't trust people. I love people, but I just know that most people don't love him.
Amen.
And you got to be cautious about that stuff and choose your friends. And then you all of a sudden say, Lord, I just want to be with you. And I know that you got to keep me here for a while, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. I said, I'm getting older and older and older. And one of these days, I said, I'm gonna leave out of here. And Lord, I don't need my treasures. You can have them. I thank you for them, but I just want to go see him. I can't believe, in my wildest mind, and I'll tell you, I got a weird mind. In my wildest thoughts, I cannot. I'm beyond the galaxy. My mind's out there. I'm sorry, I'm out there. I'm beyond the deep. I'm on the other side of that thing, and that's where my mind's at. That's where my mind and my heart is wanting to be out there. But the Lord says, Mike, you can't be there right now. You got to stay down here. I wouldn't do that for anybody but the Lord. I'm telling you, if I had an opportunity to go, it's like Paul said. He said, it's better for me to stay. And it is. You know, I don't know why. I'm not a very good orator. I'm not a very good reader. I'm not a very good Christian. He knows that. But he still loves me anyways. And I don't know why. And he lets me see stuff, man. And I look at you guys like you're all here, y'all out there, man. I mean, doctors and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, man, I need to go back to Bible college after this week, man. I probably have to. And y'all have done all messed me up real bad, because now these young guys are going to get what y'all have, and they're going to expect me to know that same stuff. How am I going to deal with that, man? That's not fair. You think it's not fair? It's not fair. But you know what? I got a friend that loves me. And he says, Mike, I just expect you, preacher, I'm done. He said, I expect you to do what I gave you to do. He doesn't expect nothing but what's in your hand. He's never asked me to do anything more than what is in my hand. He's never asked me to be a Dr. David Peacock. He asked me to be a St. Michael Elliott. That's what I am. I know what I am. I'm a son of the King. I'm a child of God. He loves me. He gave his life for me. He shed his blood. And he can't wait for me to get home either. But he wants to get some others home too.
Amen.
And until then, we're here. You know what you got to do? You got to get some of these things down, what he said, and don't let nobody take them out of your mind. Don't let nobody take them out of your heart. You just keep them there. And you say, Lord, this is yours. Father, thank you for your blessing today. Thank you for allowing us to come down here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Dr. Peacock. Lord, thank you for all the blessing that this church has been to us. And Lord, what a blessing Mrs. Peacock has been to my wife. Just in the short time they talked and on the phone, Lord, and then met in person down here. Lord, this has been a boost for our church, Lord, and we'll never forget it. Thank you very much, and we'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.